Before we read Judges 18, allow me to briefly review for you the events of the previous chapter. Chapter 17 recorded how a family in Israel turned away from the God of Scripture to man-made religion. The writer of Judges used the family of Micah to give us a window into the spiritual condition of the nation. Micah and his mother set up a shrine with an image and an ephod and consecrated a young Levite to be their priest. The events of chapters 17 and 18 took place soon after the death of Joshua. And they show us how quickly Israel departed from the word of God after they received the inheritance of Canaan. In chapter 17, the writer of Judges gives us a glimpse into the lives of ordinary Israelites. And he shows us the rapid corruption and unfaithfulness in Israel. In these two chapters, 17 and 18, we read of corruption on all levels of society, in the family, in the leadership, and among the tribes of Israel. And so we take up where we left off at chapter 18 and verse 1. Please follow along, chapter 18 and verse 1. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the people of Dan was seeking for itself an inheritance to dwell in, for until then, no inheritance among the tribes of Israel had fallen to them. So the people of Dan sent five able men from the whole number of their tribe, from Zorah and from Eshtaol, to spy out the land and to explore it. And they said to them, "Go and explore the land." And they came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and lodged there. When they were by the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. And they turned aside and said to him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What is your business here?" And he said to them, "This is how Micah dealt with me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest." And they said to him, "Inquire of God, please, that we may know whether the journey on which we are setting out will succeed." And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. The journey on which you go is under the eye of the Lord." Then the five men departed and came to Laish and saw the people who were there, how they lived in security after the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and unsuspecting, lacking nothing that is in the earth and possessing wealth, and how they were far from the Sidonians and had no dealings with anyone. And when they came to their brothers at Zorah and Eshtaol, their brothers said to them, "What do you report?" And they said, "Arise, and let us go up against them. For we have seen the land, and behold, it's very good. And will you do nothing? Do not be slow to go, to enter in and possess the land. As soon as you go, you will come to an unsuspecting people. The land is spacious, for God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is in the earth." So 600 men of the tribe of Dan, armed with weapons of war, set out from Zorah and Eshtaol, and went up and encamped at Kirjath-Jearim in Judah. On this account, that place is called Mahane Dan to this day. Behold, it is west of Kirjath-Jearim. And they passed on from there to the hill country of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. Then the five men who had gone to scout out the country of Laish said to their brothers, "Do you know that in these houses there is an ephod, there are an ephod, household gods, a carved image and a metal image? Now therefore consider what you will do." And they turned aside there and came to the house of the young Levite at the home of Micah and asked him about his welfare. Now the 600 men of the Danites, armed with their weapons of war, stood by the entrance of the gate. And the five men who had gone to scout out the land went up and entered and took the carved image, the ephod, the household gods, and the metal image, while the priest stood by the entrance of the gate with the 600 men armed with weapons of war. And when these went into Micah's house and took the carved image, the ephod, the household gods, and the metal image, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" And they said to him, "Keep quiet, put your hand on your mouth, and come with us, and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for you to be a priest to the house of one man, or to be priest to a tribe and a clan in Israel?" And the priest's heart was glad. He took the ephod and the household gods and the carved image and went along with the people. So they turned and departed, putting the little ones and the livestock and the gods in front of them. When they had gone a distance from the home of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house were called out, and they overtook the people of Dan. And they shouted to the people of Dan, who turned around and said to Micah, "What's the matter with you that you come with such a company?" And he said, "You take my gods that I made and the priest and go away. And what have I left? How then do you ask me, what is the matter with you?" And the people of Dan said to him, "Do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows fall upon you and you lose your life with the lives of your household." And the people of Dan went their way. And when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his home. But the people of Dan took what Micah had made and the priest who belonged to him, and they came to Laish, to a people quiet and unsuspecting, and struck them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire. And there was no deliverer because it was far from Sidon, and they had no dealings with anyone. It was in a valley that belongs to Beth Rehob. Then they rebuilt the city and lived in it. And they named the city Dan after the name of Dan, their ancestor, who was born to Israel. But the name of the city was Laish at the first. And the people of Dan set up the carved image for themselves. And Jonathan, the son of Gershom, son of Moses, and his sons were priests to the tribe of the Danites until the day of the captivity of the land. So they set up Micah's carved image that he made as long as the house of God was at Shiloh. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Dr. Benjamin Jowett, scholar from the University of Oxford, was once asked, "Dr. Jowett, would you tell us your opinion of God?" "Madame," he replied, "I should think it a great impertinence were I to express my opinion about God. The only anxiety of my life is to know God's opinion of me. The only anxiety of my life is to know God's opinion of me." How many people today have no concern whatsoever about God's opinion of them? They live from one day to the next, according to their own rules, fulfilling their own desires, and striving to fulfill their own dreams. Millions of people wake up each morning with no thought at all of God or His will. They drink their morning coffee, head off to work, accomplish the duties of the day, come home, fill their evening with an assortment of things, and then turn in for the night without ever asking, "What is God's opinion of me, and what is His desire for my life?" As Christians, we do many of the same things as non-Christians. We sleep, eat, work, marry, have children, raise families, buy, sell, travel, build, converse, joke, celebrate, play musical instruments, and sing. We do many of the same things that our non-Christian neighbors do. The difference, however, between the Christian and the non-Christian is that everything the Christian does is guided by the book. The Bible is both informational and transformational. It gives us the information that we need to know the will of God. And through its pages, the Spirit of God brings about transformation in our lives. The Bible provides direction for our life so that our lives may bring glory to Him. Congregation, as Christians, we are grieved when we see unbelievers who have no regard for the Word of God and do not regulate their lives according to Scripture. We are saddened because we know that God is not honored and those who ignore His word are not fulfilled. But it is much more grievous still when church members ignore the word and fail to regulate our lives according to it. We can expect non-Christians to ignore God's will. But those who are in covenant with God need to be serious about learning, applying, and obeying God's truth. In our chapter for this morning, we see that one of the tribes in Israel is showing signs of sad spiritual decline. The tribe of Dan is not focused on the will of God. Their life has become morally and spiritually wayward. From Judges chapter 18, we want to consider when the church becomes careless. I draw your attention to three things. First, the failure of the Danite conquest. Second, the mission of the Danite spies. And third, the worship of the Danite community. The failure of the Danite conquest. Judges 18 begins with those words that are associated with spiritual decline in the book of Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel. If you've read the book of Judges, you know the line that accompanies that statement. What is it? In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. We find that statement in verse 6 of the previous chapter. And now at the beginning of chapter 18, the writer of Judges allows us to fill it in for ourselves. The conduct of the Danites in the rest of the chapter indicates that their chief concern was not doing what was right in the eyes of God, but rather they simply did what was right in their own eyes. Now, we learn from verse 1 that the tribe of Dan did not yet have a place to call home. The events recorded in this chapter took place shortly after the death of Joshua, and therefore you would assume that they had received their inheritance. But verse 1 says that the tribe of the people of Dan was seeking for itself an inheritance to dwell in. Why were they still homeless? Was the tribe of Dan omitted when Joshua divided up the land? Not at all. Joshua 19 tells us that their assigned portion was between Ephraim and Judah, stretching out to the Mediterranean. It was a very rich area. Well, why then was the tribe of Dan still looking for a place to call home? Because the Danites had refused to trust the Lord, and consequently they never completely drove out the Amorites. We learn from Judges 1, verse 34, that because they failed to drive out the Amorites forced them into the hill country where they lived a semi-nomadic existence. In the opening words of chapter 18, the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance because of their unfaithfulness. And instead of repenting of their unbelief and trusting God to keep his word, they decided to look for a different area in which to settle, a place where the inhabitants of the land were unprepared and vulnerable to attack. Instead of doing things God's way, with God's help, receiving God's blessing, they chose to do what was right in their own eyes. Why fight the Amorites who are mightier than we are? Why put ourselves in danger? Brothers and sisters, the Danites had fallen into the same sin as the Israelites in the wilderness when they listened to the faithless spies and refused to enter the promised land. Children, do you remember how Moses sent out 12 spies into the land of Canaan? After 40 days, the spies returned to Moses in the wilderness and gave a wonderful report about the wealth of the land. It was a wonderful land. However, 10 of the spies went on to say that the land was strong and the cities fortified. Moreover, there were giants in the land. The 10 spies says, "We can't go up there. They're stronger than we are. We're like grasshoppers before them." The 10 faithless spies discouraged the Israelites so that the people wept and murmured against Moses. Joshua and Caleb, the two faithful spies, says, "Let us go up at once, for we are well able to overcome it." But the people would not listen. As a result, the Israelites could not enter the land. They spent 40 years in the wilderness. All those who had been 20 years old and above fell in the wilderness with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. The 10 spies who brought the evil report died by a plague before the Lord. Congregation, the Danites had become just like those unfaithful Israelites who perished in the wilderness, they were not living by faith. The Amorites who possessed their inheritance seemed to them to be bigger and mightier than Israel's God. The Danites had forgotten the saving power of the Lord. They were not living a God-centered life. Brothers and sisters, how important it is that you live by faith in the omnipotent Lord of heaven and earth. He needs to be at the center of our thoughts and lives. We need to trust that He is on the throne. And that He is always faithful to His promises. Whatever situation you may find yourself in, remember the sovereignty of your God. Commit your ways to Him and do not doubt His promises to you in Christ Jesus. When we live by sight rather than by faith, we fail to enjoy communion with God and we fail to enjoy the blessings that He has promised to His people. So that's point number one, the failure of the Danite conquest. Secondly, the writer of Judges goes on to describe the mission of the Danite spies. The mission of the Danite spies. Verse 2. Instead of confessing their sin of unbelief and appealing to the Lord for help, the people of Dan sent 5 men to spy out the land to see if they could find a suitable place to settle. On their journey, the spies stopped at the home of Micah. And while they were there, they recognized the voice of the young Levite whom Micah had appointed as his household priest. The Danite spies asked him what he was doing there and what his position was. And when he told them that he was Micah's priest, they asked him to inquire of God, verse 5, that we may know whether the journey on which we are setting out will succeed. Brothers and sisters, the very last verse of this chapter tells us that the house of God, the tabernacle, was at Shiloh. Shiloh was in the hill country of Ephraim. It could not have been very far from the home of Micah. The 5 spies could have gone to Shiloh if they really wanted to inquire of the Lord. They could have sought the counsel of a lawful priest of God, but they chose not to do that. They thought Micah's shrine was pretty cool, and they were quite impressed with Jonathan, Micah's consecrated priest. Congregation, why did they not go to Shiloh to seek the will of God? Because they already knew the will of God. Their inheritance was spelled out in Joshua chapter 19. The spies sought the counsel of Jonathan, Micah's priest, not that they might know the will of God, but that they might escape the will of God. They wanted a religious man to give them the green light to do what they were planning to do. If he endorsed their plan, then it must be okay. And that is exactly what he did. Look with me in your Bibles to verse 6. And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. The journey on which you go is under the eye of the Lord." Fantastic! They got precisely what they wanted. Micah's priest told them what they wanted to hear. God was going to grant them success. But brothers and sisters, the reader is left to wonder if Jonathan even bothered to consult the Lord. Did he seek the will of God in this matter? Or did he simply utter some pious words that they wanted to hear? Jonathan supposedly gave them a message from Yahweh. But would Yahweh sanction their faithless mission? And did Jonathan have access to the mind of God? Jonathan was not a lawfully ordained priest, and he was not serving at the lawfully appointed place of worship. He was also condoning the idolatry of Micah. We saw from the previous chapter that Jonathan was nothing more than an opportunist. He used religion as a means of personal gain. And it was not his goal to faithfully proclaim the whole counsel of God. But this was just the kind of man that the Danites wanted, an agreeable priest, a man who spoke approvingly of their plans and made them feel good about themselves. This is the kind of person that some churches today love to have as their pastor. He doesn't speak of sin, confront them with God's word, or express anything negative. He doesn't challenge them, prick their conscience, or make them feel uncomfortable. He speaks nice words, words that the listener wants to hear. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul warned Timothy that the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth. Paul said that there will be those in the church who don't want sound doctrine and biblical preaching. They won't tolerate it. They want to have their ears tickled with unbiblical notions that raise their comfort level. They want doctrine that justifies or overlooks their sin. There are many such preachers today who tickle the ears of their members with a message of positive thinking, self-esteem, and easy believism. One author said this: they come to have their egos fed and their sins approved, not to have their hearts cleansed and their souls saved. They want only to feel good, not to be made good. Tragically, such teaching serves to religiously insulate people from the true gospel and drive them still further from the Lord. End quote. What the Danites did is all too common in our own day. Get a religious teacher to approve your plans and lifestyle, and it makes you feel much better. Get a religious teacher to justify your actions so that you don't have to repent. If the pastor speaks only nice words from the pulpit and in pastoral visitation, then you can go home feeling nice and warm and comfortable. You don't have to face the reality of your sin. But congregation, such teaching does not direct us to our need of Christ. And therefore, it is soul-destroying. It does not call for biblical change. Therefore, it does not bring glory to God. It only hardens people in their sin as they hear, "You're okay, I'm okay, go in peace, and may the presence of the Lord be with you." If you put yourself under such teaching, it will undoubtedly harm your spiritual life and guide you along the road to hell. So, the Danites, having received the green light from Micah's priest, went their way, spied out the city of Laish, a quiet area populated by some Phoenicians who were isolated from any allies, and then they returned to their brothers with a positive report. "Arise, and let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good." And notice what they said in verse 10. Have a look, verse 10. "As soon as you go, you will come to an unsuspecting people. The land is spacious, for God has given it into your hands." You hear those words? God has given it into your hands. Through the reassuring words of Jonathan, Micah's priest, they were convinced that God was with them, even though they were disobeying God's will with respect to their inheritance. The false priest from the house of Micah only supported the tribe of Dan in their disobedience. He did not expose their sin or proclaim God's way of forgiveness through the atoning sacrifice. Like the religious leaders at the time of Jesus, he only drove them further from the Lord. So we come to point number 3, the worship of the Danite community. The worship of the Danite community. After the spies encouraged their brothers to go up, 600 men armed themselves and began their journey. When they came to the mountains of Ephraim, they stopped at the house of Micah. The five spies entered Micah's shrine. And verse 17 says, they took the carved image, the ephod, the household gods, and the metal image. Now, congregation, according to Deuteronomy 13, both Micah and his priests should have been stoned for their idolatrous ways. Deuteronomy 13 says, you shall surely kill him. You shall stone him with stones until he dies, so all Israel shall hear and fear. Micah and Jonathan deserve to die. If the 600 men of Dan came up to the home of Micah, stoned them to death, and burned the shrine, they would have done the right thing. But instead of doing so, the Danites took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the metal image with them. Brothers and sisters, the cancer in the home of Micah now became a cancer in the tribe of Dan. In the previous chapter, Micah and his mother disobeyed the law of God by making images and setting up a shrine. When the Danite spies came to their door, they should have been shocked, appalled, and outraged by such disregard for the law of the Lord. But sadly, that was not the case. Instead of expressing righteous indignation at the disobedience of Micah's family, they were impressed with Micah's holy paraphernalia. They not only stole Micah's idols, but they also offered Micah's priest a position in their community. As they were stealing the idols, Micah's priest, Jonathan, said, what are you doing? End of verse 18, what are you doing? They responded saying, keep quiet. Put your hand on your mouth and come with us and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for you to be a priest in the house of one man or to be a priest to the tribe, to a tribe and clan in Israel? The Danites offered Jonathan a promotion, an offer he couldn't refuse. They offered a greater potential for ministry where he would receive greater honor. They offered him the status of Pope to the entire tribe of Dan. Being an opportunistic man, he was happy to accept the offer. Verse 20 says, his heart was glad, and he went along with the people. Congregation, Jonathan is a sad example of self-promoting service. He enjoys climbing the ladder of promotion. He delights in prominence and praise. This is not a man who humbly serves the Lord with a loving heart. This is a man who serves himself. He not only abandoned his employer who had consecrated him to the priesthood, but far more seriously, he had forsaken the commitment he should have had toward the God of Israel. In the conduct of Jonathan, we see steady decline. First, he became the priest of an apostate family. Now he became the priest of an apostate tribe. First, he led a family in idolatrous worship. Now he was willing to lead an entire tribe in idolatrous worship. Instead of using the gifts that God had given him to direct sinners to the law and the gospel, instead of directing them to the messianic promises that would be fulfilled in Jesus Christ, instead of challenging them to greater love and obedience, instead of calling them back to pure worship regulated by the word of God, Jonathan went along with the idolatry for the sake of personal promotion and self-aggrandizement. In our study of the previous chapter, I mentioned to you that Jonathan was Moses' grandson or Moses' descendant. He could be a grandson or a great-grandson. If Moses had known that his descendant would have been an apostate Levite and a corrupt priest, he would have been devastated. For those who are committed to the Lord, is there anything more painful than to see your grandchildren or great-grandchildren forsaking the truth of God, turning away from the law and the gospel? By the mercy of God, Moses was no longer around to witness this careless decline in his grandson and in the nation that he had led through the wilderness. people of God, how we need to labor, pray, and plead for the spiritual well-being of our descendants. How we need to seek the blessing of God upon our children's children's children. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? Pray that the Lord will keep them true to His word and that they will value the gospel of Christ above all else. Pray that your descendants will be filled with a passion for the glory of God. And pray that He will raise up leaders who will proclaim and apply the law and the gospel long after you are buried. Let us have a long-term vision for the glory of God and the purity of His church. So Jonathan accepted the offer of the Danites with gladness and went along with them. After they had traveled a good distance from Micah's house, Micah, along with a group of his neighbors, overtook the Danites and began to protest the fact that they had stolen his idols and his priests. Verse 24. In a previous chapter, Micah had stolen a rather large fortune from his mother. Now he has become the victim as the Danites robbed him and left him with an empty shrine. Congregation, Micah's protest is almost comical were it not so tragic. As one theologian said, a God who can be made is surely a contradiction in terms. And a God who cannot avoid being pilfered must be a non-God indeed. A God who can be made is surely a contradiction in terms. And a God who cannot avoid being pilfered must be a non-God indeed. Micah failed to see how ludicrous this whole affair was. He wanted his gods returned, and he wanted his priest returned. But the Danites were not ready to comply. In verse 25, they demanded that he remain silent, and even threatened to murder him and his household if he persisted. The Danites proved themselves to be hard, uncaring, calloused people who wanted a measure of religion for their own security, but wanted to be free from the law of God and the requirements of His covenant. The Danites took Micah's idol and his priest, assuming that they would bring success upon their endeavors. But in the process, they broke the second commandment forbidding carved images. They broke the eighth commandment forbidding theft. They broke the sixth commandment as they threatened to murder Micah and his household. And brothers and sisters, along with all this, the first commandment was ditched. You shall have no other gods before me. What the writer of Judges is showing us is that the covenant people of God were corrupt at the family level, as seen in the family of Micah. They were corrupt at the leadership level, as seen in Jonathan the Levite. And they were corrupt at the tribal level, as illustrated in the Danites. What we see here is open and unashamed carelessness with respect to the revealed will of God. Israel, the church of the Old Testament, was not responding rightly to the love of God. They were not responding rightly to the Savior. They were not awed by the greatness of Yahweh's covenant love. Congregation, if you are truly astonished by the love of your Savior, Jesus Christ, then your desire will be to obey Him. Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. We are not saved by our obedience to the law, but our gratitude for salvation must be expressed through obedience to the law. We cannot say that we love God when we are careless about His revealed will. Studying Scripture is so vitally important because, as I said a moment ago, the Bible is both informational and transformational. It informs us and it transforms us. We need to know God's word so that our life and worship may show our love for the one who laid down his life for us at Calvary's cross. If you're a careful student of the scripture, you will remain steadfast. And so I ask you, are you a careful student of scripture? Are you serious about knowing and applying God's word? Are you willing to examine your own family life in light of the word? Do you study principles of worship so that our church's corporate worship may be pleasing to the Lord? If we are not eager to be informed and transformed, then it will not be long before we are like Micah, Jonathan, and the Danites, who were dreadfully out of touch with the mind of God. Our homes, our children, and our church will suffer, and our testimony before the world will be sadly compromised. Dear friends, as we read this chapter, so full of spiritual carelessness and confusion, we need to recognize that if we do not have Christ at the center of our lives, and if his word and gospel are not precious to us, then we have the potential to live in the same spiritually confused state as Micah, Jonathan, and the Danites. We have churches throughout our nation today who once possessed the gospel of Christ and offered worship that was Christ-centered and God-honoring. But today the gospel is absent and the worship is man-centered and superficial. The word is neglected. Do you think this could never happen to us? Do you think this could never happen to us? Do you imagine that the carelessness of Micah, Jonathan, and the Danites could never be your folly? Do you think that the stupidity of Israel could never be your stupidity? Do you think that their false worship could never be your false worship? That their lack of commitment to the Lord could never be your lack of commitment to the Lord? You don't think that you have the same potential within your heart? Brothers and sisters, we need to be much in the Word. And we need to encourage each other to live obedient lives out of gratitude for the work of Jesus Christ. For if we neglect these things, we can very quickly become a spiritually confused and careless people who bring dishonor to our Savior. So the children of Dan now possess a collection of images, as well as a priest, a spiritual advisor who told them what they wanted to hear. They went on to Laish and struck them with the edge of a sword, verse 27, and burned the city. However, the people of Laish are described in this chapter as a peaceful, helpless, undefended people. Verse 7 tells us that they were quiet and unsuspecting. Another translation says they were a peaceful and unsuspecting people. Now, brothers and sisters, it is true that when the Israelites first entered the promised land, they destroyed many cities and smote the inhabitants. But in this situation, the Danites were not driven by any divine mandate whatsoever. They slaughtered the inhabitants of Laish and torched the city solely because of their need for living space. Conquest of Laish was not divinely mandated, and the Danites did not go forth with the approval and assistance of the Lord. Yes, they won the battle. Yes, they were successful. Yes, the words of Jonathan in verse 6 appeared to be fulfilled. But the Danites had not done this with the approval of God. They slaughtered a peaceful, helpless, undefended people, settled in Laish, and renamed the conquered city Dan. And then they proceeded to establish the city as a center of worship. Look with me, please, in your Bibles to verse 30. Verse 30. And the people of Dan set up the carved image for themselves, And Jonathan, the son of Gershom, son of Moses, and his sons were priests to the tribe of the Danites. Then notice verse 31. So they set up Micah's carved image that he made as long as the house of God was at Shiloh. Do you see what the writer is highlighting in verse 31? He is telling us that the Danites established a center of worship that was not authorized by God, while they ignored the center of worship that was authorized by God. They set up Micah's carved image in their city as an alternative to the true worship of Yahweh. The worship that was established in the Danite community was of human design. And it stood as an apostate challenge to the true worship of the Lord, which was established at Shiloh. Congregation of the tribe of Dan had become much like the Canaanites. They were lacking true faith, and there was a great lack of genuine spiritual integrity. Their religious expression and ethical conduct were seriously flawed. There is not one admirable God-fearing character in this entire chapter. As you read and ponder these verses, may you hear the voice of God declaring to you, I want your heart. I want your life. I want your loving obedience. I want your mind. And I want you to offer pure worship to me through the means that I have appointed. Don't pursue your own agenda. Don't assert your own will. Don't neglect my word. Listen to what I have written and obey. Listen and obey. Brothers and sisters, how wonderful it is when God's people are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting his sacrifice for sin, rejecting all forms of worship that are not approved in Scripture, and yielding your lives to his authority for the glory of our victorious Savior. As we close, let me ask you, are you committed to him? Are you faithful in your worship through Jesus Christ? Are you serious about learning his word and striving to apply it with the help of the Holy Spirit? May it be, congregation, that true worship would be offered by this church for generations to come until our Lord returns. Worship of the one true God from the heart, informed by a true understanding of who he is and what he has done. And may each one of you look forward to that continuous, perfect worship in the kingdom of heaven, where the angels, the elders, and thousands of thousands worship him who sits on the throne and the Lamb forever and ever. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. May your worship now be a reflection of that heavenly worship.